you believe that, say amen. Well, today, as we talk about our children, I do want to mention a couple of things I forgot to mention earlier about the parenting class that's going to be starting. Brian Schallenberger, where are you at, Brian? There. Brian's going to be facilitating that and leading that group for us today. So if you have more information and would like to know a little bit more about that, you can talk to Brian. We also have some flyers that are available on the back table back here to the left. Is that right? Back table back to the left. There's some more flyers about maybe the different subjects that are being covered and about the things we'll be talking about there. So if you would like more information on that, you can see Brian or also see that back table for a flyer. How many are ready to change today? How many are ready to change? Testing 1, 2. How many are ready to change today? I thought this mic was broken because for some reason you didn't hear me when I asked you. Change is easy, isn't it? It's not. And we're being honest and saying change is not always easy. Matter of fact, it's always sometimes it's pushing and shoving to get people to change. It's kind of like, you know, the spouse that you try to change for years and they never do, right? I've often heard that, I'm trying to remember how this goes, that, you know, that women marry their husbands hoping that they'll change them when they get married, and they never change them. And guys, when they get married to a wife hoping she'll never change, and she always does. I don't think it's a good testimony either way with the side. That's not something to be happy about, because we're people who we don't like change, do we? We don't like change, and we don't like getting out of our comfort zone. But how many know that God has called us to be people of growth? He's called us to continue to grow and to change. And to grow, you've got to learn to open yourself to change and saying, God, stretch me. God, take me to a higher dimension. Take me to a higher level than where I'm at today. Today, we at Destiny Church, if you've been here since the beginning, we have talked about one of our core values is learning to change and learning to grow. We embrace that value of growing and learning. And growing means you got to change. Growing means you got to open yourself up to change and say, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. I'm not where I could be and should be. I'm okay, maybe. I'm okay, but I've been okay for a long time. And I need to grow. I need to get out of my comfort zone, let God stretch me and do new things in me. And today we're talking about letting God change us. We're in the middle of this series, and this is a long series we're doing because it takes a while to get this through our heads. This isn't a series we could do in 3 or 4 weeks and be all right, everybody's changed. It doesn't happen that way. The change is a process. And sometimes it's a slow process, but it's a process. And I am so pleased this morning as your pastor to hear testimony of different ones come and say, Pastor, I'm getting it. I'm asking this. I'm learning to ask this. I'm learning to say, God, change me. Change my ways. Help me not to be so caught in a rut. Help me not to be so stubborn in my ways that I cannot grow and I cannot change. And I'm hearing testimonies of people saying, I'm learning, Pastor, to change and to grow. And that makes me excited today to hear that. Last week we talked about the statement that a mature people live by their commitments, not by their feelings. We were talking about faith last week and about changing our way we believe, our faith. And we made that statement, mature people live by their commitments, not by their feelings. So today I want to expound more on that statement, and we learn to talk about changing our commitment. Changing our commitment. This week we've seen where the stock market kind of crashed, didn't it? Stock market had a big crash, and as I was listening to them talk about the market and what was happening with the big downfall in the market this week, they were just talking about just hold on. Just hold on. You know, that the worst thing that happens is that when it crashes, everybody wants to sell everything, get rid of it. And the long-term investor saying, listen, if you ever want to make money in the market, you just got to hold on. You got to be committed to the process. You got to be committed. You got to kind of invest and then forget it's there, because it's going to go up, it's going to go down, you know, and it's going to hit rock bottom and it's going to hit highs. If you ever want to make money in the stock market, they said, you just got to invest it and kind of forget it's there. You got to stay committed to the process. You got to ignore the daily ups and downs to commit yourself to the long term. They were talking about the stock market, but it can be easily talking about our life today and our Christian walk. History shows that long-term commitment pays off. That long-term commitments pay off. The sad thing is today in our society, the technology is speeding up the pace of change in people's lives. And more, they're reluctant to make commitments because things are changing. This is just with me and my cell phone. I have a cell phone that my contract's expired on, and I want to upgrade, you know, but I want the upgrade to get the better email and the video quality of my new phone. But I saw where, you know, iTunes is, you know, I mean, iPod's coming out with, you know, Mac's coming out with their new phone. I'm thinking, if they got it coming out in June, then I better wait because I don't want to get this one here because this one will be out of date. Now it'll be the new one, you know. And, you know, we're constantly, if I do that forever, I'll never get a phone that I want because I'm always looking because it always happens. We get a phone, and as soon as you get the new thing, somebody else comes out with something better. And we live in that kind of society. It's always this fast-paced and changing, and we're never afraid to commit to one thing because we're going to miss out on the thing that might be better. And we live our life with this big buffet. Life's a big buffet. I don't want to commit to anything. I just want to try and take this and that because I'm afraid when I get to the end, my plate's full, there might be something else I really want on there. Have you ever done that? You know, you went to this one of these mega buffets, and you start loading your plate up. You're like, oh, I didn't know that was over there. You look at your plate, and you get your plate's full. And you're like, man, you know, some of you just get another plate. Don't make a difference. You just get all two plates. But it's kind of the way we live our lives. We're kind of afraid to put too much on there and be committed because there might be something else we want later on down the road. And so we're afraid of diving in. We're afraid of commitment. The tragic fact, because the fact is you can't live your life without making commitments. It just cannot happen. We cannot live our life without making commitments. You can't buy a house without making a commitment. You can't get into a marriage without making a commitment. It takes commitments is what drives us. It's exciting. Nothing great ever happens without making commitments. If we go through our life without ever making commitments, we're just drifting by, just getting by, without any focus, without any purpose, without accomplishing anything. So today, I want us to look at changing our commitment. I want us to look at what the Bible says about the power of commitment, the price of commitment, then what it takes to make a commitment, and even the pitfalls of commitments in our life. We're going to read 2 Corinthians here and Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. It's on your overhead. It says, the eyes of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and do this right here. Look at your neighbor and say, he's watching you. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are halfway committed to him. Right? Strengthen whose hearts are three-fourths of the way committed to him. It says God is looking for those hearts who are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord are looking for the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. The Bible has a lot to say about commitment today, that he is looking for those kind of people who are fully committed to him. I want to talk about the power of commitment. And the first thing about the commitment is this. Number one, it shows my values. It shows my values. And I want you to write these texts down. We got a lot to give today, so I want you to go back and look these scriptures up to go along with this at a later date. Maybe in your study, in your small group, or in your own devotional time. Look these up. Write these down. Make sure you're writing these down, okay? On the back of your bulletin, there's a place to take notes. Bring a pen. Some of you maybe need to bring a notebook, a small notebook. I just challenge you as your pastor. Maybe invest in a small notebook that you can just bring to church with you and keep notes on today's date. It will help you in your study time and grow as you go back and reflect on those. Matthew 6:24, it says, it shows my values. My commitments show my value. They show what I really think is important, what I really value. There's no such thing as love without commitment. Do you know that? There's no such thing as love without commitment. If you are single today and you're waiting for that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right to come along and you say, they love me, I'm just waiting for them, but they won't commit. They don't love you. I don't want to break it to you. They don't love you. If they love you, they will commit to you. Without love, the commitment, they go hand in hand, okay? It takes commitment to prove the love. And we see in our life, what are the things that we really love? The things you're committed to. What are the things you really value in your life? It's the things you're committed to. My values are shaped by my commitments. They show my commitments. They show my values. The things I committed to, they show what I think is valuable. They show the things that I love. I may say something that's important to me, but the way I commit my time and my money shows what is really important. You can open up your checkbook or go through your bank account, and you can see what's really is important in our life. What are the things we value? For instance, I may say my family is important to me. But if I'm always working and never taking time to spend with my family, is my family really important to me? Oh, you may think they are, but they're not. Well, Pastor, I've got to work 70, 80 hours every week. I have no time for my family. They get a different job. Yeah, but then I have to downsize my house. What is important to you? That's the question you got to ask. What is important to you? If your family's really important to you, you'll do what it takes to spend time with your family. That's just one example where it shows our commitments show and shape our values. It tells us what's valuable in our life. The uncommitted life really means nothing is important to me. If I'm not committed to anything, it says that nothing's not important to me. The only thing that's important to me, if I'm uncommitted to things, you know what's important to me? Myself. When I don't make commitments to anything, I'm just committed to myself. Everybody else, they can do what they want to do. I could care less. I'm just worried about me. Our commitments show us our value. It's also true that you can't be committed to everything. It's also true that you can't not be committed to everything. Some of you try and have tried this, and you know that you crash and burn at some point in your life because you overload and you do nothing, no value when you commit to everything. You can't be committed to everything, but you got to choose in your life what is important to you. What things in your life do you need to be committed to? And those things will show you the value of your life. I can spend just a few minutes with you in your life. I can ask you. You can say, Pastor, I don't know what I'm committed to. I can spend a few minutes. I can look at your checkbook. I can just talk to you in a few minutes. I can tell you very fast what you really value in your life. Number two, they shape my life. My commitments will shape my life. Proverbs 14:23. Write that down. They will shape my life. I become whatever I am committed to. Your life is a sum total of your commitments. Your life is the sum total of your commitments. If you believe that making money is the most important thing in life, then my life is going to be about making money and about working. If I believe that being well-liked is the most important thing in my life, then I'm going to work on being popular all my life. Whatever is important to you, it will shape your life. The things you're committed to will shape your life. You better choose your commitments carefully. Let me say that again. You better choose your commitments carefully. What are you choosing to be committed to? If what I choose to be committed to drags my family out of church, is it really worth committing to? If what I choose to causes me to be away from my family at an unhealthy rate of time, is it really worth being committed to? Is what I choose causing me to struggle in this area, is it really worth being committed to? You got to look at your commitments. They shape your life. You better choose your commitments carefully. Commitments not only show my values, but they also shape my life. But not only that, the Bible says my commitments determine my destiny. My commitments determine my destiny. Mark 8:36, write that down. The destiny of nations are determined by the commitments that people make. Do you realize that? The destiny of nations are determined by the commitments people make. You and I are here today worshiping in this place freely because somebody was committed to a cause that's given their life. That you and I can be free to worship God in this place freely today. Some people gave their lives up. Blood was shed, and they fought for our freedom that you and I could be here. What are you committed to? They were committed to a cause. Commitments will determine my destiny. On a personal way, the commitments that you make, they will make, and I make, not only do they determine here and now, but they also determine our eternity. Our commitments not only determine our destiny here on earth, but they also determine our eternity. Life here on earth, 60, 80, 100 years, is brief compared to the life of eternity. The commitments we make in our life, I like to use the illustration of if we had a little blackbird, you see these blackbirds, they fly, you know, fly south for the winter, and now they're coming back in the fall. I came out this morning, they were all over my yard, man, just eating things out of my yard. I'm thinking, they're back. Back, back. You know, they're back. And I can imagine one of those blackbirds going on the coast of California and taking one grain of sand off the beach of California, and all the beaches of California, took one grain of sand, flew it all the way to the East Coast, and put it down, then flew all the way back. And one grain of sand at a time, he emptied all the sand that was on the West Coast, on the ocean, and took it all the way to the East Coast, one grain of sand at a time. Can you imagine the time it would take him to do that? Well, when he completed that project, time would have just begun when it compares to eternity. I mean, eternity never ends. We can't comprehend it in our mind because our comprehension is just on our life today. We think of 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years max. And that's what we think is eternity. And I got news for you. Eternity has nothing to do with this earthly life when it comes to years. The eternity is going to go on forever and forever and forever. But this is our problem. We get caught up in this short life right here. And all of our commitments have to do with ourself right here. This short span of life. And we got to realize our commitments affect our eternity. Our commitments affect our eternity. They will shape your destiny. They will affect your eternity. But we live our life for the moment. We live our life for the day. We do what we want to do today, not worried about making an eternal investment. Where am I going to spend eternity with Jesus? Am I going to spend eternity with Jesus? Am I going to bring somebody with me? Am I going to bring somebody else who's not there? Where am I really investing my commitments? What is really important? Well, Pastor, it's important to myself, my friends, my family, man, we all make it to heaven, and we spend eternity there, and we bring others with us. Then let's check our values. Let's check our commitments. What are our commitments saying about that? Well, I'm so busy doing this, I can't do that. I'm so busy doing that, I can't do this. Is it really a value in your life? You see, we got to learn that our values and our commitments, they shape our values. They shape our destiny. We got to learn that our commitments will have an eternal effect on us for eternity. We're making an eternal difference here. Wise people use their time wisely. What a profound statement, huh? Wise people use their time wisely. Wise people plan how they're going to exchange their life. How are you exchanging your life today? Are you exchanging your life just for the dollar? Are you exchanging your life just for immediate gratification, your own fun? How are you exchanging your life? Every choice has a consequence. Let me say it again. Every choice you make has a consequence that goes along with that. In life, every choice you make has a consequence. It may seem the most insignificant of choice, but in the grand scheme of things, they can all add up and have a consequence on eternity. Of course, the most important commitment you're going to make in your life is a commitment to Jesus Christ. The most important commitment you can ever make is a commitment to Jesus Christ. That you sell out and say, God, I want to give you my whole heart. He says he's looking for those people who give him fully their heart. But the problem is with us, we give God a part of our life. We give God a part of our heart. Wow. Lord, I want to give you a part of my heart. Just bow your head a second. God, I want to give you a part of my heart. Lord, I want to give you everything I am. Help us, God, to understand what it means to fully give you our heart today. What it means, Lord, to be committed to the right thing. What it means, God. What I pray as I'm speaking today, Father, and talking about our commitments, what I pray that our heart, Lord, and our mind is challenged, God, with our commitments as we do a self-survey, God, of our own commitments in our life. And God, I pray as I continue to speak today, God, we see in the areas that we are not committed, we are not fully given to you. And God, I help and pray today, God, that we would give those areas to you in the name of Jesus. The second thing I want to talk about is the price of commitment. The price of commitment. What are the price tags? What are the costs of following Christ? Luke 14:26 says this, if you want to be my followers, you must love me more than your own father and your mother, more than your wife and your children, more than your brothers and your sisters. Yes, even more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. What a powerful word from our Savior. Some of you are thinking today, where does he get off thinking he can ask me and tell me I've got to love him more than anything else, even more than my own children? Where does he get off thinking he can do that? He's the only one who has the power and authority to do this in our life. Because you know why? He created you. He created me. He gave his only life. He gave his only son for you and I to die. So he is the only one who has the authority to say, you must love me above all else. Because he paid that kind of commitment to you and I. And he has the right to ask us to give him that kind of love. He says, if you want to fully be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, you must love me more than you even love yourself. What's he saying there? He's saying, you got to get over your selfish things, your selfish commitments, and be committed to me. Quit using your kids and your family for excuses why you cannot be committed to me. You got to love me above that. My relationship, first of all, should be what? My priority should be what? My priority should be my relationship with God above everything else. Above everything else in my life, my priority should be my relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing is my relationship with my spouse. The third thing is my relationship with my children. Then after that, it's others. But my first commitment is to Christ. My first commitment is my relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than anything else. I expect to be first place in your life. Wow. He made you. He made me. He has the right to ask us to do that. But the problem is this. We only want to give God a slice of our life. I remember at Thanksgiving growing up that I would many times, I had a grandma who loved to bake me my own pumpkin pie. How many love pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving? It's warm out of the oven. You can smell it. And you put that whipped cream on top. Oh, it just melts in your mouth. You guys are getting a Holy Ghost moment right there. Hallelujah. It's moist. Man, it's good. And my grandmother knew I loved pumpkin pie, so she would make me my own pie. Can you believe it? I was spoiled, wasn't I? She made my own pie. And I remember walking into her house on Thanksgiving, and she would have these pie racks, you know, holding multi-levels of pies. It was like a pie factory. You're like, oh, yes, I have died and gone to heaven on earth. I mean, it was like a pie factory, you know. But she had one pie that was marked. It was my pie. And she would tell everybody, that is Gene's pie. Don't touch that pie. I made that for him. And she would make me my own pie. And once in a while, I'd have a cousin or even my dad or somebody would try to do something like sneak in there and take a piece of my pie. And they would cut a little piece out. You know what I'd do? Grandma, I want this pie. Someone took a piece out of this pie. And she said, who took a piece of his pie? She'd go in there and be in there grabbing them out. And she'd go in there and she'd get me a new piece. I mean, she'd get me a new pie. And nobody else would cut and say, all right, you take this one. Because she wanted to give me, you know why? She labored and she wanted to give me, her grandson, my own whole pie. She didn't want anybody to kick out part of that pie. She wanted to give me the whole pie. And see, the problem with our life is this. We want to be committed to so many things in our life. And we want to offer God just a piece of pie. God, I'm committed to you. Here's my piece of pie. Here's my Sunday piece of pie. Here's my Tuesday, you know. We give him a piece of pie here and a piece of pie here. And we think we're doing all right. God, I'm committed. Here you go. Here's your piece of pie. And God says, no, you got it wrong. I don't want to be a slice in your life. We got our pie, we got our God slice here, we got our work slice here, we got our marriage slice here, we got money here, we got dreams here, we got fun, education, all these things, all slice of life, and we pull out our piece of pie and say, all right, God, here's your slice. And God says, I don't want a piece of pie. I want the whole thing. God says, I want everything. I want the whole pie. I don't want this to be a piece of pie in your life. I want it all. And being committed to him and saying, God, you have everything. God, you have my whole pie. God, you take my career. God, you take my money. God, you take my family. You take everything I am, God, and I commit it all to you. I'm giving it to you. That's learning to be fully committed to Christ. But many of us were like that. Or like, you ever go to this country western show somewhere where you're in Branson or wherever you've been, you know, and they're singing these songs. And it just always cracks me up because they're up there singing, you know, and they're singing about this and that. You know, my wife left me. You know, I got drunk and blah, 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 and this and that. And I lost my house. You know, all these sad songs. And they stop in the middle and they go, all right, folks, it's time for a little gospel. And you step up, you know, I saw a light. You're like, what are you doing? Like, this is going to, you know, all of a sudden, I'm just going to give you a slice of the gospel right here, you know. I'm like, this, I'd rather you sing something that you really know about, really passionate about, than try to act like you're a Christian and sing some Christian song that you don't know anything about to what you're singing. And that's kind of what we do in our life, where we're kind of like, you know, all right, it's time out, God. All right, it's time out for a little gospel. Time out, all right, time out. It's time to get God a little gospel. No, God doesn't want a time out in your life. God says, I want all of your life. He's wanting us to be fully committed to him. It was C.S. Lewis who said it like this. If Christianity is untrue, then it's unimportant. If Christianity is untrue, then it's unimportant. That's obvious. The Bible is a lie. If it's all a myth, if it's all really didn't happen, if Jesus really isn't God and he didn't rise from the dead and all the other stuff he said, what are we doing here this morning? Let's all just go home. But if you really believe it, if you really believe Christianity is true, and you do because that's why you're here this morning, if you really believe Christianity is true, then it's the ultimate of importance. It is the most important thing. If you really believe why you're here this morning, Christianity is true, then it becomes the most important thing in your life, and it deserves everything you have. It deserves every commitment should be shaped and connected to him. It's of the utmost importance. It's more important than your job. It's more important than your family, your career, your goals. It's the most important thing in your life. The only thing, he said this, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It's either the most important thing, or it's not important at all. It's kind of like this. Cassie, can you stand up a second? Stand up, Cassie. You know, Cassie, either she's pregnant or she's not. Thank you. You know, what if Cassie gets up and says, I'm kind of pregnant? What would you say? You know, you're not. You're pregnant. Christianity is either the most important thing or it's not important at all. You got to decide. It's either the most important thing in our life, it's going to shape our commitments, it's going to drive us, it's going to help us shape our values in our life, or it's not the most important thing in our life. It can't be a moderate ground. But see, many of us, we straddle that fence. We know that it's important, and we like what God can do for us, and we like when we talk to God, and we like, but yet we have not learned to fully commit ourselves to him because it costs us. There's no such thing as a casual Christian. That phrase does not make sense. It's a contradiction to what the Word of God says. You're either fully committed to him or you're not committed at all. Ooh, that's tough, isn't it? Let me say that again. Either you're fully committed to him or you're not committed at all. We've got to check ourselves. It's like me saying, I'm half dead. No, you're either dead or you're alive. You may be sick. It may not feel good, but you're either dead or you're alive. I'm not half dead. I'm not half alive. I'm either dead or I'm alive. I'm either committed or I'm not committed. We've got to learn to build our life on commitments that mean and put God first in our life that have meaning. Jesus says this, that I want you to seek me first. He said, I want you to seek me first. How do we do that? We talk a lot about putting God first in your life. How do I put God first in my life and change my commitments? Look at this. Let me give you four ways here. Four ways. Number one, the first thoughts of each day. I give God the first thoughts of each day. Psalms 5:3 says, each morning I will look to you in heaven and lay my request before you. I'm not saying when you get up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is sit down and read your Bible and pray. I understand it would help you out if you did. I understand it's the first thing you have to do, but your thoughts should be the first thing when you get up, should be upon Him. Oh, Pastor, how do you do that? Let me give you a little hint. When you go to bed at night, how about you just say, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And God, today, help me when I wake up in the morning. I want to be rested, and I want my thoughts to be upon you in the morning. And I can't wait till I wake up, I can tell you good morning. You know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning? The first thing you're going to think of, hey, God, good morning. My thoughts upon you today, God. Direct me as I go throughout my day. Getting my thoughts upon Him, giving Him my first thoughts of the day. This is how I learned to commit myself to Him. Each morning, I will look to you in heaven and lay my request before you. Some of you, when you get up, you say, good Lord, it's morning. And God's wanting us to switch that mindset and say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to my relationship with you. Let me quickly go through these today. Number two, give Him the first day of every week. Give Him the first day of every week. Acts 27, on the first day of the week, disciples came together. He talks about remember the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Come together. Listen, summertime is going to come up in a few months, and you're going to be traveling, and it's going to be very easy to get disconnected from the church. Listen, if you're in town, you're not on vacation, you need to be here. You need to be here on Sunday. Make Sunday a priority to have my family here. Get them here and stay connected. We've got us giving God the best in our life. We give God the first day of the week and say, God, this day belongs to you. Some of you are being technical and saying, oh, Pastor, if you really go back and study the Jewish holiday, that you know Saturday night starts the Sabbath. So why are we meeting on Sunday for? Well, we might start a Saturday night service, and you can come be correct there, okay? You can be the first one here through our Saturday night service one of these days, and we start a Saturday night service. But it's not talking about, he's talking about our first day, our first calendar day of the week is Sunday. So we give that day to the Lord and saying, God, this day belongs to you. We're meeting together with our friends. We're coming together worshiping you. The third thing is give the first 10% of every paycheck. The first 10% I give to God. Proverbs 3:9. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking on this. We've talked about this and taught about it. You know what the Word of God says. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of your income. Give Him the first. Give Him the first thoughts of the day. Give Him the first day of your week. Give Him the first tithe. Give Him the first part of your paycheck. Give Him the first 10% as He's asked you to do. Number four, first consideration in every decision. Give Him the first consideration in every decision. Proverbs 3:5-6. In everything, look what it says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you, and here's a promise, and crown your efforts with success. He says if you will put Him first in your decisions, put Him first in your efforts, He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. How many could use some wins in your life? How many could use some guidance in your life? God says here, put Him first. Ask Him for direction. Put Him first in everything you do, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. God, I'm considering. What am I doing? That means you're praying about it. I've said this in the last couple of weeks. What are you trusting God for? What are you praying about? If you're not praying about it, then I say you're probably not trusting God for it. You depend upon your own ability. What are you asking God for? God, I give you first consideration in every decision I make in my life. What are some pitfalls today to this? The commitment, we get distracted. Well, we get distracted. Mark 4:19 says, the attractions of this world, the lights of wealth, the search for success, and the lure of nice things come in and crowd out God. Listen, don't get distracted. Commitments, listen, our commitments will, if you make a commitment to God, you'll get distracted so much. Satan's going to come against you. He's going to try to distract you with hobbies, with sports, with children, with other commitments, things that are going on, family problems. Listen, we're all going to have things pulling at us to get us distracted. Stay focused. It's a pitfall to being committed. And the second thing is here, we become complacent. Don't become complacent. Don't become complacent in your walk with God. When it comes to being committed to God, stay committed. Don't allow yourself to become complacent. We've seen where in the book of Joshua where they went and the children of Israel, they just defeated the Jericho wall and took over the city of Jericho. And they went to the next city. It was a little podunk city. Didn't have any walls. I mean, it'd be like conquering Joplin and then going over here to, you know, Carterville and taking it on. I mean, it was just nothing compared to size. Not trying to demean Carterville if you live in Carterville, okay? Don't write me any emails this week. Just giving comparison here. And they were so cocky, they said this. They said, all right, well, you know what, Joshua, just send out about half the troops this time. Some of us will stay here. You can take care of this pretty easy. You know, there's no big walls. And they went there, and they pretty much got their lunch handed to them. They lost 36 men, and lives were killed. They came back, and they had to retreat, didn't take the city. Of course, we came back and find out that one of the men had stolen some of the goods. He had kept a couple things. When God said, don't keep anything, give it back to the house of God, he'd kept a tie. He'd kept some of these offerings they'd taken. He'd buried it in his tent. But also created a spirit of just a complacent spirit of, you know what? We don't need to try hard here. We got it. No, you're either fully committed or you're fully not. Because when you just go out half-heartedly, you're going to be defeated. When you only follow half the rules, you're going to be defeated. When you only follow half of what God's got for you, he says, no, I want all of your heart. There's a reason he wants that. Because when we give him all of our heart, then he can do something with all of our life. And he longs to use you and I. He longs to use us, but there's a commitment that comes with change. You want to see change take place in your life? Change your level of commitment. I just challenge you. Say, Pastor, why are you challenging? Because I want you to change. I want you to learn to have the fullest of your destiny that God has for you. And it comes when you say, God, I am fully committed to you. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning, as we close, I just want to give you this chance. If you're here, you say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about being fully committed to God and about spending my life in eternity with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know. I've never prayed that prayer before. I've never asked Jesus to come in my heart and forgive me my sins. Today, as you're talking, I want to ask Jesus into my life. I want to ask him to forgive me my sins. I want to spend eternity with him. Before we go any further today, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to give you a chance to do that. If you're here today and you want to pray that prayer, can you just raise your hand and let me know it's you? Anybody here? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to spend eternity with Jesus. Let's pray this prayer as we. We had a couple people who raised their hands. I want to make sure let's all pray this prayer. Say, repeat it for me, please. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give you my whole heart. Come into my life. I accept your love. I accept your grace. Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, it's more than just praying a prayer. It's about a lifestyle of turning the way down and going in the opposite direction. Make sure you see somebody today before you leave and let us know. Yeah, I prayed that prayer. I want to get connected to a small group. I want to get connected to people who can help support me and help disciple me. We want to help you do that. Also today, with every head bowed, I want to ask you this commitment, this question. As I'm talking today, God spoke to you as a pastor. As you're speaking, I realized that I haven't fully committed my life to Christ the way that I know I should. I've asked him to forgive me my sins, and I've given him a slice of my life, and even a big slice, but I haven't learned to fully give him everything, the whole pie in my life. As you're talking today, I want to make a commitment to God that I'm going to give him everything in my heart today. I'm going to give him everything I am. God was speaking to me today, and I want to do that. Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that was me? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys, being honest. Several hands, yeah. Anybody else today? It's okay. You're making a stand before God. They say, God, I want to give you everything I am. I haven't fully done that today. Anybody else today? That's me. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today, and I'm going to close out in prayer. Being fully committed to God is not just raising your hand, but it's our actions that speak louder. Our actions, what we do every day, will follow if we really mean it. Say, God, I want to learn to give you the first of everything in my life, the first thoughts, first consideration for everything I do, first of my paycheck, first of my time, everything, God, it belongs to you. and I give you everything I am. Father, right now I want to pray for those who raised their hands, Lord, who said they want to be fully committed to you. God, they've given you a part of their life in the past, but God, today they're raising their hands saying, God, they want to learn to give you the whole pie. Forgive us, God, of offering you a slice. Forgive us, God, of just giving you a part of our life. But today, help us to abandon ourselves to you. Help us to be fully committed to you, God. Help us to learn what it means to open up our life, Lord, to give you every part of our life, all of our dreams, all of our problems, everything we are in our life, Lord, we fully give to you today. We give it to you, Father. We ask that you would take it, Lord, and use it for your kingdom. God, help us, Lord, to learn what it means to give you the first fruits in our life and everything that we do. And everything we do, that we are learning to walk fully committed to you. God, help us to learn what it means to be fully committed. That we're just not halfway committed, because there's no such thing. Either we're committed or we're not. And God, help us to make a decision today for our family, for our marriage, for our life personally, that we are going to be fully committed to you, God. Whatever it takes, we're selling out, God, and we're giving it all to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we say, amen and amen. God bless you. Shake a hand before you leave. If you want to, groups, remember those groups from the back table. There's more listing back there. Shake a hand before you leave. Say, God bless you.